I agree that this is a beautiful, wonderful chapter, and it's the most endearing thing is that Ernest Holmes is such a simple, brilliant, joyful teacher, and that he, no matter how many times I read him in how many different forms and how many different subjects, I'm always inspired and I always learn something I didn't know. And this is no exception, this day. In my life recently, I think the last time I was here, I shared that my house was under contract. Well, the contract fell through, sadly. However, I have been gifted with tremendous opportunity for learning that I never would have taken advantage of had it not been for this very difficult home sale and some financial struggles. And the one thing that has come to me very clearly is that 99% of everything I need, everything I enjoy, everything I love is absolutely free and given every day without cost, without any interest, without any expectation. It's just there. And to wake up to that fact and know that that's truth is so readily apparent once you start seeing it. I mean, that I guess I wouldn't trade that knowledge for any amount of money, any amount of security, or any amount of wealth or whatever. And so I'm very grateful for the learning opportunities I've had and continue to have. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful way to be in life, to wake up in the morning and know that everything I really need is right here and always will be. Anyway, so with the help of my my practitioner, I did something called the Abundance Meditation, which is a 40-day exercise that's designed by Randolph Price, and it's just amazing. Every day you read a different there's 10 affirmations, and for 40 days you read one a day, and then when you finish the 10 you start over again. And what a blessing that was, because for some reason that amount of time is what it really takes to change your thinking. And it really changed my thinking. And just as what I was saying before, it was that meditation that really helped me to unlock that secret and to really begin to live it. So I highly recommend it if anyone, and you can actually Google the 40-day abundance meditation, and it will pop up in many forms, in many formats. But anyway, about this chapter, this chapter is called "You Are a Spiritual Broadcasting Station," and everyone is familiar with the book, I presume, because you've been talking about it for a while. And Ernest Holmes starts out by saying, our subject this morning is you are or might become a spiritual broadcasting station. And I was struck by that, might become, and that it leaves so much room for everyone to recognize the possibilities as well as the realities. And Ernest goes on to say that this is the most spectacular revelation, that we are the actual vehicles for spirit. Now, we've heard that in many, many, many different ways, many different things. But in this chapter, the ultimate truth is that love and our being in love and recognizing God in everything through that love is what we broadcast when we're in touch with that. And that broadcast is essential to God's spirit. to God's message, that that is our role to play. And as we accept that role and we go forth and interact with each other, interact with the universe in the recognition of love and light, and just seeing God in each other, in the trees, in the sea, in everything, the internet, in everything, that we are really the messenger. And one of the things that Ernest talks about in this chapter that struck me was the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus's Sermon on the Mount, which, you know, it piqued my interest so much that I went and looked it up. Mm-hmm. And what an amazing, I mean, that whole, everything that Christians believe is in that speech, that message. And but what Ernest said was, he incorrectly states that the Sermon on the Mount begins with Jesus saying, "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God." That's actually like the 15th or whatever. But anyway, it doesn't matter, because what he said was the term mount. I mean, by using the mount, that's a symbol for transformation, and by what Jesus meant by "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God," is not that they're going to see God in a thunderbolt or in some sort of vision, but that they'll see God everywhere. That God is present through the pureness of their heart and our thinking. Then God is everywhere, and we perceive that. And that was such a clear and pleasant interpretation of everything, all the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, and by listening to it and reading over the Sermon on the Mount, I came back in touch with a number of things. I mean, the Lord's Prayer, which is just an amazing, amazing statement, which taken literally does not speak to me, but taken in the way that I can interpret it, speaks to me volumes. And Ernest says, that he says, "I always thank God, the God that is, that the God that is believed in isn't." And in this chapter, he uses the term screwy all the time, like about five times. And he says that he's talking about the Baptists and the Methodists and that kind of thing, and their vision of God. And he's like, "Well, there's nothing wrong with being a Baptist. There's everything. They're very good people. I know them. I used to be a Baptist myself." But, and I think the ritual of baptism is very good. But if they think there's... if they think that there's salvation in the dunking, they're screwy. So I thought that was good. Basically, whether we know it or not, then this is taken from the first page of the chapter. Whether we know it or not, broadcasting and sending out we are automatically broadcasting and sending out. Our influence, thought, feeling, sometimes on its plane is tangible. Somewhere in the aura, that is the extent of this atmosphere which surrounds us and is created by us without our knowing it, exists sickness and health, most of it, poverty and wealth, love and friendship. We don't... All of that is contained in our aura. In other words, our thinking creates our life, creates our reality, and this aura that we are emanating is going out not only to everyone else, but to ourselves. And this is where we create create our lives. So I'm going to read you this. I take that the blessed are the pure at heart, for they shall see God, must mean that there is a certain attitude of thought, of mind, consciousness, where the divine presence is revealed to us in the things we look at and in the people we contact. Jesus must have meant this. So also in the Sermon of the Mount, another place where we see the teaching of we are the voice of God, that in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine so that others may see your good works and your glory, and you give glory to your Father who is in heaven." And I know you all remember the song of "This Little Light of Mine." Mm-hmm. And the whole there's a chorus in there that says, "Don't hide your light under a bushel," and that you need to shine, let it shine. And that's what this chapter is talking about. It's talking about letting your aura be that of love and that of recognition, and keeping that purpose high in your consciousness, and keeping the consciousness of contact with God in their uppermost reaches. So then, so you're, so when we keep the aura in mind, and in when we keep the idea that recognition of God in everything is crucial to our purpose of being an emissary of the philosophy, and of being the messenger that we have a kind of sense of calm and a sense of separation from the turmoil that is all around us, and to stay calm in the time, you know, where we're confronted with so many tragic things all day long, every day. Unfortunately, the constant news, which is always focused on what's wrong and what's bad and what's tragic and what's painful, it's important for us to be able to sit and be that space of peace, that space of love. And to know that that is not the truth of us. The truth of us is not what we're hearing on CNN or the news in general. The truth of us is that we are progressing in a positive way, and that everything is in perfect harmony. And regardless of any kind of appearance, everything is in harmony. We are in harmony, and when we can know that, when we can know that in the depth of our consciousness, we are a positive influence, even a positive influence on the media. I believe that our consciousness is broadcasting, mm-hmm. and hopefully louder than the media that's broadcasting all the bad news. Mm-hmm. I'll read you a couple of paragraphs I thought were very interesting. It is nice to have, that is what we need. It is nice to have money when we need it. It's nice to be free from pain. But it's more wonderful to have no fear, no uncertainty, have confidence in the universe, and love for each other, and a depth of feeling that will not be disturbed. Tennyson said that of the Lady of the Lake, symbolizing the state of a state of consciousness, she is calm whatsoever storms assail the sea, and when the tempest rolls, has power to talk, to walk the waters like our Lord. And Jesus stilled the waves. Ernest says, I like to know that if I pass through a situation, it is healed. We are all inlets to God. And Emerson said that, and may become outlets. God made us inlets. We have to make ourselves outlets. We silently bless everyone we touch and everyone who thinks of us. We are playing around on the fringe of the great miracle of life. We ought to broadcast beauty. I am a great lover and almost worshipful adorer of beauty, the harmony, the symmetry. I love to see people who do their best with whatever they have. But God comes in the still small voice, in the silent sanctuary of the heart, in the love we bear for each other, the love so infinitely deep and broad that men have renamed it and called it God. Almost all children have it. Practically all animals have it. Love is a converge, joy is a grace, peace is a depth of the soul, and there is a soul in the heart, even if you haven't a voice to sing it. A song in the heart, even if you haven't the voice to sing it. The other message in this chapter is that whatever you're broadcasting comes back to you. If you're broadcasting fear, that will come back to you. If you're broadcasting hatred, that will come back to you. If you're broadcasting anger, that will come back to you. But if you're broadcasting love and you're broadcasting peace and harmony, that too will come back to you. And that will be your experience. And I think that's so true. As I was telling you before, my revelation after doing this 40-day meditation, that everything is available all the time. No matter what the present appearance may be, everything is available to you. Everything is perfect. And everything is an opportunity for joy. Everything's an opportunity for more life, for more experience, for more peace. And as I live that, even though I will say that I have never been in more precarious financial situation, it's not affecting me. It's not something that I'm making define me. And I'm fortunate because I'm living in just so much beauty and so much joy. And that it's not hard to maintain that consciousness, although it's very tempting to slip into despair and worry and fear and what's going to happen, oh my God. But I don't know, for some reason I'm not. Mm-hmm. So, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I'll read a couple of more passages here. Whatever we have loved shall love us. Whatever we have cursed shall curse us. Because the universe is just, without judgment, without malice. How wonderful to think that I, you and I, no, unknown to the world, that the, you and I, unknown to the world, that doesn't matter. Uncrowned, unhonored, and unsung, that doesn't matter. We have within us the possibility of the limitless reaches of the reality, of reality. Just a different kind of broadcasting station, singing day and night, it never stops, dancing night and day, it never stops, loving, living, giving, receiving, light-bearing, for there is a light that lighteth every man's path, and you are that light, I am that light, and in that light there is no darkness. So I wanted to close with an informative prayer, and then open it up to discussion, and we can, maybe in the second half we'll do a meditation. So the affirmative prayer is the one that's written here in this chapter, and I will go ahead and read it. Bring the gladness from the heart, and that the world will seek you out, and the world will seek you out, but weep and you weep alone. All right, this is affirmative prayer. Do we have an intention sheet that's gone around already?
We have the treatment list.
Yeah, can we pass, has that been already gone around?
No, bring that to me.
If we could pass that around, everyone could write down their intention or their thought, we can pray for that, pray on that. And I just want to say that this is the most beautiful rose I have ever seen, honestly. I mean, I hardly believe it's real. I mean, it's so gorgeous.
Mine's green.
I had lavender alstroemeria that I had put an arrangement together with Gerbera daisies. And the alstroemeria was very enduring, and the Gerbera daisies faded.
Right.
And so I went looking for roses that would go with the lavender alstroemeria, and I went to Costco, and who had roses on sale, and they had this bunch of roses that were white and lavender and red that looked perfect.
Yeah.
With the, lavender alstroemeria. It's an identical color, the purple.
Isn't it great?
The same purple. So that was really quite,
yes,
quite an amazing manifestation of what I was looking for.
Your consciousness brought it forward.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Roses know that I love them.
Oh yes, so they are so amazing. Yeah. They are so amazing. It's they're miraculous in every way. I mean, look at that. How could it be more perfect?
Okay.
I mean, look, just everything is perfect.
Yeah.
And I've never seen one of that color.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
I had never seen one that color either. I was really startled that I managed to match the color exactly.
That's beautiful.
It must be, Astro Media is so wonderful too. It's, mm-hmm. Oh, kissing. Hey, thank you.
My mother loved alstroemeria. She always used to make a declaration when she had alstroemeria. She would say, my mother was a Bostonian, very proper. She would say, alstroemeria is very satisfactory. And every time I see alstroemeria, I think of my mom and her declaration about the satisfactoriness.
It is. It's a lovely flower, and it lasts forever.
Right. It's part of the lily family, and one of the qualities of lilies is that when you get them in the bud, they always open. Many other flowers if you get them in the bud, they stay in the bud.
Right.
Alistair Maria and other lilies open, so you can get them pretty much anywhere along your
right.
lifestyle.
Yes, and
still last.
Yes, right. I love them. And they're usually a lot less expensive than
right.
everything else,
mm-hmm.
which is it's also a plus.
Absolutely. Did you buy them or grow them? I bought them. I was playing with my cat this morning and I had some feathers on a stick and I was doing what Lavanya is doing with the rose with the feathers and Wild Thing's head was going like this. It's very funny to see.
You know, a cat has adopted me. Yes, a cat turned up on my doorstep about a week ago. A small male cat, very small, maybe probably a teenager, but very clean, very not feral at all. And I was, you know, concerned that if someone had lost it. But I have two terriers, okay? So this is not a good atmosphere for cats. Although we're trying to coexist. But it's not easy for the dogs. But anyway, it's amazing. It just came up to my door and just started meowing really loud and would not go away. So I started feeding it. And it lives in my basement because it can't live in the house yet because the dogs will kill it. Or it kill them, one of the two. I don't know who will win, but there would be severe injury. But anyway, it's just such a nice experience to have had this. Thank you. Had this this adoption take place, and I'm going to see. All right, so we're going to do this affirmative prayer from Ernest Holmes. It says, "Now we have the very sweet duty to perform, and that is to use our consciousness on behalf of whoever has put his or her name on whatever need they may have in this on this paper, in faith and in confidence, and with a little longing, perhaps, and a little apprehension and fear, perhaps. I don't know, but this is, but as we return to God within us, as we return to God within, we are broadcasting to God within everyone whose name is here. Listen, God. God is speaking to God, and God is answering to God. This is in this celestial conversation and communion that every person whose name is here shall be blessed and is blessed, beloved of his spirit. We are recognizing your presence in him, in every organ and action and function of his body, and that it shall be whole. We are talking to God and the God of wholeness. Never had anything wrong with him, and never will. The God who never made a mistake cannot and will not living truth. We are blessing every person here in health and in joy. And let him know that the spirit within him performs the miracle of life. And here upon the altar of our conviction, we lay down every doubt and uncertainty and behold his face only, shining in the eternal light. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they do see God. We see her in each one here. Divine guidance is telling everyone here what to do. And if she has a problem, let it be solved. Divine intelligence knows all things and does all things. Let joy come to her, and love and truth and beauty, and the light of heaven light her way as it as it shall. Now let each think deep within herself. Say to the eternal presence, I am that which thou art. I am that which thou art. I am that which thou art. Thou art that which I am, eternal God. All the joy and all the peace there is, and all the energy and action and enthusiasm and creativity there is in me, because God is here. Each is saying to himself, I am the infinite calm. I am one with all the power and joy of the universe. I am one with the wind and wave and mountain and the desert and my neighbor, children at play, birds aloft winging their way across the blue sky, the sunset and the sunrise, and all things. I am that which thou art. Thou art that which I am, forever and forevermore. Amen. And now, eternal God, everlasting Father, giver and keeper of life, to whom is glory and power and dominion, both now and forever, we rest in thee. Amen.
Thank you.
Wow.